welcome back. Lots to talk about this hour. There's much going on, and as you know, if you've been watching the headlines, there's a lot happening in the Netherlands now. And I, as I mentioned earlier briefly, and I'll do that in just a moment. Erica, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you.
Okay. This Netherlands thing is it's nice to see people standing up and protesting. But in all sincerity, what they're putting their lives on the line for over there now is absurd when you put it side by side with these bioweapon injections that most Europeans have been forced to take. Why aren't they bitching and moaning and demonstrating and raising hell about that? They're raising hell about a viable and valid issue, that nitrogen is not a component from normal agricultural production, that is a worry. So, and they've shut down apparently 30% of the farms, and that's what it took to get the Dutch out in the streets. But seriously, where are the demonstrations about Albert Bourla and his death machine? Come on. And we know now, thanks for sending that over, that Bourla was given the Israeli equivalent of a Nobel Prize for his brilliant work. How more absurd does it get than that? I mean, here's somebody quite literally guilty of negligent homicide at the least, and I'm going to be charitable. I look at it much differently than that, but let's just play that game. So what does that tell you about who's behind all this? Who is the CEO of Pfizer? Bourla. Who's the CEO of Moderna? Who's the CEO of the other major players? Looks always the same people. So
yep.
Let's just face reality here. There's nothing prejudicial about what I'm saying. Nothing biased or bigoted. It's a fact. It's a fact. So there we go. There's a lot happening. We've got much to cover, so let's just dive in. Let me pull up the page here, and we'll see where do you want to start? Or what do you want to say? Anything by way of introduction? Or?
No, I think I do detect, from my perspective, that things are accelerating in terms of the illness and just the number of deaths, especially in younger people.
Especially, yes.
And, you know, we had a nice weekend here over the 4th of July, and it, being a somewhat touristy area, this place should have been very busy with, you know, pedestrian traffic, motor vehicle traffic. It was not.
Right.
It was spooky.
I don't know what it's going to take, if it is possible, to wake up the masses in white Western Christian culture. I think there are a lot more who are now aware of the fact that, let's just phrase it politically mildly, that the vaccine is a problem, and it's not performing as the masses have been told. Now, all of you regular listeners know how we feel about this. It's anything but an experimental vaccine. It was created and contrived to do exactly what it's doing, using the spike protein to mass murder most of the white Western Christian world. And that's tier one. That's target number one. And I was told this nearly from, about 4 years ago now. What comes next? It's a world population reduction agenda. This is the first phase of it. What will they use to reduce the population of China and India and Malaysia, Indonesia? These are very populous countries. And then we have South America. What are they going to do in Africa? Well, they beat the Africans up for a long time with all sorts of things. So this is just, again, the first phase. The plan is to turn this into a Zionist planet with about 20 goyim per Zionist. These are round numbers. This is what I've read many times now. People talking, people conversing, and that's the target. That's what it looks like to me, and I don't know how else to phrase it. It's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, it is hard to deny that it looks like it is they're attempting to bring it to fruition. And
what's going to stop them? Let me ask that. I don't know. Yeah. We don't want to sound
really
negative. We don't want to sound defeatist. But we're looking at this objectively. And honestly, we've had 2.5 years of mass murder, mass injury, injury for life, horrible afflictions of one kind or another among those who have taken these shots. And no, not everyone who has taken the shots has been stricken yet. There may be reasons for that, and we've talked about that many times. But what in the world would it take for people to... It's like they've accepted their own extinction. It is really weird to watch, from my perspective.
I think there's still people that do not believe the government... Well, what's masquerading as a government is capable of doing exactly what they're doing. There is still so much cognitive dissonance and Stockholm syndrome out there that it's mind-blowing. I mean, I spoke to somebody yesterday who I wouldn't say bragged about having the full series of shots and claimed to be, I mean, by full series, I mean 3 going on 4. 4 was to be given today. But claiming that he and everyone in his family were fine. Why wouldn't you take this shot? There's a deadly virus out there. If you get a flu shot, why wouldn't you get this shot? That was the reasoning. And I inquired, did you have any sort of reaction, or did anyone you know have any sort of reaction to these shots? No, we're all fine. And then I did notice... He was coughing. He had a very productive cough. And then he revealed that he'd recently been diagnosed with an aggressive stage 4 cancer. Out of nowhere. So, clearly that's a pattern nowadays. Ryan Cole upped his percentage of what the... increase in cancer rates is. It started off with an increase of about 20 times the normal back at the beginning, early of last year, and now it's up to 40 to 50 times the normal rate of cancer. Or I may have misspoke. It might be 40 to 50%, but that's staggering. And the only thing that's different is people have been coerced into taking an experimental gene transfection intervention.
It's not experimental.
Well,
I would always try to qualify it. I believe it's fully functional and was deployed with knowledge of foresight, knowledge aforehand. What's the expression? Knowledge aforehand.
Foresight, I think. Forethought?
Well, the foresight.
Knowledge of
whatever.
Forethought?
Anyway, they knew what the hell they were doing.
Contrived.
This has been deployed. It's working perfectly to meet their stats. They're getting their death toll. People are not doing anything to stop it. Nothing. And you're the only
And now we
viable.
Have, I don't know if you, did you see this, it was by the Exposé out of the UK. They just ran an article on the 4th July, official biochemical and statistical evidence that 100% confirms Moderna created COVID-19. So apparently there are patented sequences in the virus that, there's no chance in hell they came from nature. If they were naturally occurring, why would there be a patent on it? And this was the issue that Stefan Bancel was dancing around a couple months ago and trying to be coy and laughing about it, and then he disappeared from public view.
Tell people who he is.
Stefan Bancel is the CEO of Moderna.
Well, I wonder when he gets his Israeli equivalent of a Nobel Prize.
Oh, I'm sure he's in line somewhere. But yeah, they're smoking guns in this all over the place, and I hope nobody's still entertained the idea that it came from a cave.
I don't know what they're entertaining, but they haven't figured it out yet, and I don't think they will. They're actually lining up. They're continuing to line up, and now they're sacrificing their children. They're lining up with their children.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the top video at the homepage, please. Look at it and listen. Okay. I'm trying to plug my computer in here. I have a funny problem with my computer. Yeah. Okay. What would you like to start with?
Do you want to do some of these odors that people are detecting from...
Sure.
From those that have been vaxxed?
Now, hold on. I got to get this plugged in yet. Tell people what's going on now. I don't know if I can call this a new development. I don't think it is. I think it's being newly talked about and newly noticed by people, and that is an aroma, an odor. In fact, a very foul odor reported by a number of people, which you'll hear about in just a minute. Where did this come from? Has it always been part of the landscape and we just didn't hear about it?
I think when the shedding issue became more well-known last year, maybe around this time, maybe a little bit earlier, spring of last year, there were people in the population that seemed to be hypersensitive around people who had been vaxxed. And the first reaction was, well, these vaccines or injections are not supposed to shed. So why is it that people are feeling ill?
Remember the arguments early on about that? They shed or they don't shed. People were arguing about that.
Oh, there was a campaign to try to deny that these things shed. Yeah. And you know, we've since found that in the Moderna patent, they knew it shed. The Pfizer clinical trial instructions were
in their
very explicit
words
about that.
You got it.
And so that's, you know, again, it's not something that's even up for debate. It happens. People are reacting to it. But there was a particular small percentage of the population, mostly women, that were inordinately sensitive, feeling very ill when they were in proximity to vaxxed people. And it seemed to be dose-dependent. The more you were around the vaxxed people, the worse the symptoms would get. And now we have people that are even debilitated, I mean, neurologically debilitated, from having been in the vicinity of Vax. Now, why that is, we can speculate. They probably have some degree of toxicity already going on. Perhaps they have mold toxicity, or their normal detox pathways are somehow impaired. So they're chemically sensitive. And I think everybody is being a mammal, is sensitive to the spike protein, but to greater or lesser degrees, and we don't know why, some more so than others. But now these people that are particularly sensitive to the vax claim they can smell an odor coming off of them, and it's very distinctive.
It's foul. You'll hear in a moment some of the descriptions, and we would ask any of you out there, if you are around others, let's say a mixed crowd, i.e. vaxxed, unvaxxed, taking the bioweapon or not taking the bioweapon, no matter how many shots, if you smell anything funny, odd, different, unusual, offensive, let us know. This is on certainly social media. There are sites about this now, or platforms, whatever they call them. Groups, I guess, is what it is. But there are more reports of this coming on all the time. All right, let's go to our... oh, don't tell me he's here. Okay, there it is. Got it. All right, we're up here on the page. If you look under our section in guests, look to underneath, and you go all the way to the bottom, and it says smells, shedding, and behavioral changes. Behavioral changes is another area we're really looking at closely. We're getting more reports about this. People's personalities change, their attitude changes. They become often, more often than not, hostile. So that's another thing you want to watch for. And I'm sure many of you listening know people who are shot up and they've changed. So keep your eye on the bouncing hypodermic for that one. Okay, smell. Let's see. All right, go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go ahead and take the first couple, and I'll take the next chunk and whatever.
Okay.
Now, these are reports on social media from people who have been around the vaxxed who smell them, apparently. Go ahead.
Okay. First one says, I can smell a metallic scent on some of them. It's awful. And it lingers even after they've left the room. Second person says, I can sense a weird smell and a heaviness in the air in a restaurant full of people, for example. I have this just get out vibe very strongly. Another one says, oh, yeah, I was just telling one of my contacts the other day. I finally pinpointed the smell that others had been talking about. What I smelled was heavy, sweet chemical odor. Like a floor cleaner or detergent.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I'd smell this on the guy who delivers water cans, but thought he just got a bit enthusiastic with some cheap deodorant spray. Still, though, I'd feel an instinctive urge to hold my breath when he comes around. Then my neighbor died, and lots of people were congregated next door, out on the landing, beside my door. At one point, I opened my door and was about knocked down by that same odor.
All right,
quickly
let me
closed it again.
Yeah, let me ask you to describe the mechanism of how this might cause odor that not everybody can pick up. What would the mechanism be? I think it would have to do with the general body chemistry of the individual, how he or she is reacting to these death shots, which is obviously something the body wants to get rid of, so it pushes it out through the skin, for example, and the body is covered with, as we know, bacteria. So how does it work? How do these molecules
of odor
get loose?
That would be my guess, too. The skin is the largest organ of detox in the body. You've got your liver, your kidneys, and your lungs. Colon, but things that can't get out through those pathways will often exude through the skin, and you've got bacteria that live on the skin, and they will further metabolize whatever is trying to come out through the pores, and then you've got some kind of an odor. Part of it depends on how the stuff is metabolized internally, and then it's attempting to leave the body however it can, and then you've got
or the body's pushing it out. If it's attempting to leave the body, that would almost suggest it's looking for another host, looking to move along.
Well, I as I said, the skin is an organ of detox.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of things that you can smell on people, whether they've eaten them or rubbed them on their skin. I mean, they say if you put a clove of garlic on your big toe, you can pretty much taste it and on your breath 5 minutes later. I mean, things go systemic.
Right. Okay. Let's go back to our... go ahead and finish this one up.
Okay. At one point, I opened my door and was about knocked down by that same odor, quickly closed it again. Like I was telling someone else, when you got that many people in a tight spot, especially in warm weather, and people are worked up mentally, you should be smelling a combination of natural BO, some sweat, some perfume, some hair products, maybe occasional cigarette smells, some very faint whiffs of laundry detergents on those whose clothes should not be smelling. Okay, you should not be smelling one uniform chemical odor on a crowd of 10 to 25 people. That's mm-hmm. not normal or natural. Mm-hmm. I also wondered if the body of a deceased vax person might be smelling more strongly.
Well, naturally they would because of the decomposition, but I see the question. All right, here's another one responding to this same thing. I do not smell anything around vaccinated people, but this week got extremely nauseous after talking outside to a double jabbed woman with some jabbed. I do not feel that there's no punctuation in this. Let me try it again. I do not smell anything around the vaccinated, but this week got extremely nauseous after talking outside to a double jabbed woman with some jabbed, I do not feel or smell anything. And with some, I really feel weird. Symptoms like headaches, heart issues, nausea, ovarian pain. And again, forgive us, but these are written very hastily or inaccurately by some people. The two times I encountered the vax smell, one, a group of people, but separate and going slow at a steady pace, smelled like fabric softener. Two, large group, 300 to 500 people in an enclosed space at a sporting event, smelled like a porta potty filled with fabric softener. A delightful combination. Very foul. You knew something was wrong. There's another account. All right, here's one. Yes, the inside of the restaurant smelled like they just mopped the place with Lysol or Mr. Clean. I figured they were doing COVID cleanup every day. It was just awful. We ate outside, wrapped in coats and a blanket. And another person says, I smell a scent. Yes, in the air. It's a harsh synthetic scent. It can be kind of flowerish, but harsh like vinegar. The congestion reminds me of when I go into a building with insulation, fiberglass, exposed. He's trying to say insulation. Exposed. So, you know, we've all smelled fiberglass insulation, I would imagine, at one time or another. And there's another one. Yes, the chemicals they put in the potty, very similar smell. I'm wondering what on earth is in the vaccine, the injection, to cause that. And it seems to be a permanent thing. Now, here's one. Remember all the reports of people losing their sense of taste and smell? All right, we haven't heard too much about that lately. But here's one who says, I lost my sense of taste and smell with my first 3-week-long exposure sickness. Okay, they're calling it an exposure sickness here, just being around the vaxxed. Everything tasted like cardboard. It was awful. I'm so grateful these senses have returned. So I wonder if now I'm smelling their shedding. Well, the answer is, obviously, yes. Last one, got the same problem. I found out it's called multiple chemical sensitivity, or MCS. In French, they also call it chemical smell sensitivity, and it is related to EMF sensitivity. How surprising. Well, I don't want to get into that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, next one. It seems like there is a connection. I struggle in this area. There may be a whole frequency thing going on with the jab itself. Next one says, me too. It's horrific. I've started to be able to tell if they've had AstraZeneca or Pfizer now. AstraZeneca has a slight sweetness to it. Both smells are horrific. They must be emitting something pretty toxic to smell like that. I still don't understand how some people can smell it and some can't. Another one says, I smell their shedding also, and I feel it. Weird. Someone says, what does it smell like to you? Depends, because if I'm near someone, sometimes someone smells sometime like when you hold an empty can. Other people smell like when you go into a house with not enough oxygen, like they need oxygen. I don't know how to explain. My husband says my sensor antennas are too high. Some people smell even like thin plastic. Others like ammonia. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to explain.
Okay, this is... All right, I think you all are getting the picture here. This is a rather wide range of interpretation, but clearly a lot of people who are unvaxxed are smelling some very offensive things, and they differ. Some people claim to be able to tell the type of kill shot that the people have gotten. That may be a stretch, but who knows? I don't know. This is something I'm, again, asking all of you. We'd like to hear from you. Just email me at the site, and I'll get it. Okay, here's another one. I've heard people say a soapy chemical smell. For me, it's like downy dryer sheets, but so strong it hurts my nose. We had a Bell guy here today working on our telephone lines, and my head hurt. Pressure at the frontal and temporal lobes. From about 10 minutes after he arrived, apparently in the house, to about a half an hour after he was gone. And the smell was very strong. What could that possibly have in it, that vax, to make people smell like that? Another person adds, it is a blend of both that you are describing, or do some people smell like death and some smell floral? An answer to that one, people that can smell the vaxxed have continuously said there are floral people and there are foul-smelling people. It's not necessarily combined. Whoop, there goes Erica again. We'll get her right back. It's hard to describe, and many don't get it. I will not go into a meeting place now. Went into a bowl club recently to listen to music in the club, but didn't last in there 5 minutes. It was seriously out of the park awful. So we're getting a lot of reports like this now on social media that I don't remember seeing or reading about in the past. I have friends who can smell... You back?
Back.
Okay. I have friends who can smell them. They smell like sulfur or rotten eggs. That's how they used to describe Satan, the devil, smelling. Huh? Sulfur? Rotten eggs? That's the smell I smell when I sense demonic activity. Aha! And the bad smells that go along with it. I'm in deliverance ministry. I don't go around the vaxxed. I can't. I burn like I'm standing in a bonfire. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, ammonia and Lysol. Heavy chemical cleaning agents is what I smell. Another one says, wow, that's interesting. Even when people wear perfumes, they smell like heavy chemicals.
To try to cover it up? I wonder if they know they smell.
Yeah, I know. My daughter-in-law took the shots, and she smelled like sulfur the other day. Another one says, you're smelling the chemicals in the shot. The others that smell sulfur are rotting and smelling the cell death.
Okay, let's pause on that. I wonder if there's more to that than just a off-the-cuff statement. I wonder, and we do have... Well, who is the person that talked about auras of the clients they were seeing? There were some older healers that were working with people, and they claimed to be able to see somebody's aura, and they said the aura of the vax, those who have been shot up, was very small, if I remember correctly, something like
well,
that.
Well, I think they were, weren't they hands-on healers of some sort?
That's right,
and,
that's
and
right.
And they just, they weren't getting any results. They couldn't, I guess you can try to heal them. I mean, they're just, and I've heard that or read that in several places now. These people that work mm-hmm. as energy healers, Reiki healers and such, they're either they had to quit because the energy, their life force, is being so depleted mm-hmm. from working with these people that they can't continue.
Wow. Okay. Let's we got some videos we want you to hear, so let's pause right there. We mark that spot. If we have enough time, we'll get back to it. And go to John O'Looney. I want all of you to pay. We want all of you to pay very close attention. John O'Looney is a UK funeral director. They do not do autopsies like they do here. Apparently, they do some over there like that, where they take all the internal organs out, weigh them, look at them, study them, sample them. And then they put them all in a bag, I assume a plastic bag, and put it back in the cavity of the body. Sometimes they include the brain. Well, John O'Looney had talked to the embalmer over here, Hirschman, and that's the guy who found the amyloid clots, these horrible long rubber band-looking like things in veins and arteries. John hadn't seen them personally. Apparently, he got somebody to take care of at his home who had been given a thorough Western-style autopsy. And he apparently opened the bag, I'm trying to remember, took the guy's heart out. It was a young man in his 20s, and John was curious. He wanted to see if he could see anything in there. And this is under guess. You'll see it there. I'm going to bring this up, and we're going to play it. And it's only 2 minutes long, but take a listen to John O'Looney, and I think you'll get the idea. He is shocked.
Just the misery of it all. I mean, the last 3 weeks I've looked after three people under 30. On Friday I looked after a guy who died suddenly, and he had a post-mortem. So we were kind of waiting for a sudden death in a youngster that had a post-mortem to take a closer look. Now, the post-mortem process, I don't know if you're aware or not, but they basically take all the organs out and they do whatever they need to do with the organs, weigh them, take slides and blocks, and then they put them back in a bag and the bag is put back in the cavity, sometimes with the brain, and then they sew the cavity up. Now, obviously the arterial system in that person has been compromised, so you can't do a traditional embalming. It's quite invasive. So you have to open the cavity, take the organs out, and source the individual arteries that have been severed. So the ephemeral arteries down both legs, the radial ones down the arms, and the carotid to both sides. And it was straight away the embalmer saw all this crap hanging out of this person's arteries. And I'm going to hold it up. This is a glass of formaldehyde with just some of that were pulled out of the arteries to get the pump in, because it was blocking. I don't know if you can see it very clearly. Let me turn the background blur off 1 second. Background.
Yeah,
okay.
And,
that should be better. So you can see there.
Definitely.
This,
Gary, are you looking at this?
So yeah, you see the thick one here. This one here came out of the aorta from the heart. They take the shape of the vessels that they're growing in totally, and they gradually fill the vessels as they grow. And these, obviously, that's what's killed him.
Okay, now it's showing John O'Looney holding up the jar and you're getting a better look at it. Clear evidence that these amyloid clots are growing apparently to match the shape of the space that they are growing in. Now, the aorta is the primary exit from the heart. Is it not, Erica?
Yep.
And that big amyloid clot shut that aorta down, and that person probably was a SADS case, fell over dead. Boom. And you can't feel these things in your heart.
There's a lot of these now.
Remember that. You can't feel them.
I just wonder, you know, how do they really have no symptoms prior to this? That's hard to imagine.
Know. Fatigue? Huh?
I would say fatigue, maybe breathlessness, maybe some dizziness. These clots are huge.
How can you live with that? You can't. And they're constantly growing. Remember that. It's not a sporadic issue. They're assembling more and more fibrils, and they're becoming bigger, and they're filling the space that they have been granted by virtue of the location that they're growing in. And my God, it just imagine. I hope you'll look at this video. And John O'Looney is stunned. I think you could hear that very clearly.
Yeah, there are more and more of these sudden deaths in younger people now. It's staggering. And there's a whole Telegram channel devoted to just stories about people who died suddenly.
We're going to bring you more about SADS. We have a lot of videos and pictures. I don't know if they're up. I don't see them up there. Do you?
I think we're still assembling them. A lot of them, just so you don't think it's only happening here, a number of these are from China, and I think the reason is that Chinese tend to like to walk around with their phones, and they catch these kind of candid moments of people just collapsing in the street or just going about their business and dropping. And the person will lie there on the ground, and somebody will be filming it.
Okay, there's a story here. Let me see if I can find this here. Hold on. It had to do with China and exactly what you're talking about. Did you see that one?
I've seen a lot of these lately. I don't know if I've seen the
China
one you're talking
about. No, I'll have to look for it. Meanwhile, we have a story of an Australian nurse. Do you want to go ahead and set that up?
Yeah, so this
is the first month, March of 2021.
Oops, sorry. Hold on. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, this is a nurse from Queensland, Australia, and she describes in about 5 minutes how she was coerced or deceived into taking the experimental injection. She's injured. She suffered for it.
The deployed bioweapon, which permanently damaged her. Okay.
Yep.
All right, here we go. This is Mary Jane Stevens, registered nurse in Queensland.
It was the first month, March of 2021. You know, they were getting their staff to, you know, encouraging their staff by, you know, saying it's all safe and effective, we've done all the testing. No mention of it being an experiment, no mention of it, you know, being rushed through, no mention of any of the animal studies dying. There was nothing. And any of the research that you had or any of the questions you had, they said, oh, yeah, here's the information, they provide it to you. Or if you went onto the computers at work, there'd be little icons that you would click on. It was all controlled information, you know. And no one has time when you're that busy in emergency. You don't have time to go and research. Why would you question or not trust your own employer, your own government, and the World Health Organization? I mean, that's crazy talk. Mm. Yeah, March 2021, our boss, the head of our nursing team, the nurse unit manager, would come and she would ask for hands up before each shift, and hands would go up, you know, this person and that person. Come with me, like cattle, come with me, let's go down to the vaccine clinic at the hospital and have your injection. So this was happening every shift, every day, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And if you didn't want it or you had questions, you were offered counselling until you either got it or you stepped away. There was only one worker that I know of out of hundreds of staff that refused. Everybody else got it. And there were young women who were concerned that fertility testing hadn't been done and were crying. They were crying before they had to get it, and they balked. I know one particular young girl, she balked at the idea of being forced to have this injection, and they ended up counselling her after the fact, days and weeks later, and got her on board, and she's now fully vaccinated. So it's heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking that this has happened.
The denominator was the vaccine, but you had the second?
Yeah. So I didn't actually start to...
Is there anything you want to finish before you get there?
Oh, no. So I had the second one.
Why did you have the second one?
Well, because the threats of losing your job were already there. So...
And you weren't in a position to lose your job?
Well, I didn't know the bigger picture at that point. I hadn't really started doing my own research. Crazy. But I didn't really know exactly what was going on. So I waited about 3.5-4 months before I had my second one, and I was actually feeling fine. I felt like I was back to normal. My health had returned. And then in middle of last year, I went and had my second one. And I was fine for about a week, and then it hit me, and honestly, I thought that was finished. Gone. The pain in my head had returned, but next level, and that pain just went everywhere. It was like every cell of my body was on fire, like my body was burning from the insides. I was dripping with sweat. I was red all over. I couldn't think straight. There was like this, it felt like something was moving in the back of my head, like a ripple of water or something was going between my left and right ear. It was bizarre, I know. It sounds like I'm a nutcase, but that's all I can describe it like. And I described it to my partner as I've just been injected with a toxic poison. That were the two words I remember using. And he was looking at me like, what? Because he was still thinking it was all legit. Yeah, and I just said to him, I'm done. This is it. I'm finished. I'm going to die. And like for 3 days, I kept crying. I was just a basket case thinking, what have they just done to me, you know? And I knew at that point that something really bad was going on. So it was then I started asking all these patients, every patient that came in, if I had the opportunity, in your nursing assessment, they come in, and when you get handover from the QAS team or when they come in as a new patient, you do this assessment. So you take a history, you know, you're doing all their bloods and their observations, and I got really good at asking whether they were vaccinated. I just chuck it in at the end, you know, have you taken any new medications, you know, have you done anything new, anything changed for you, no. And just the recurring theme for all these people was that they'd all received this vaccine. And I'm thinking, okay, days are going by and I'm seeing all these different presentations. You know, some guys are coming in with cellulitis in their legs. Another guy had cellulitis in his face, both in the same shift. One guy knew. One guy said to me, everything's been fine until I got the vaccine. And I said to him, what one did you get? And he said, I got Pfizer. And I said, and that's it? That's the only difference for you. And he said, yep. And I went, maybe you should not have any more. And I was thinking, you know what? If this is my only way to tell these people, I've got to tell them. So I just started saying, don't have any more. It was carnage. Yeah.
But what was happening to you?
Well, the pain kept getting worse. The pain kept getting worse. It was so bad. And I was just taking pain relief just to get through my shifts. And then I started doing my own research. And what I found was that we were in this mass experiment
that the government and our health department had basically lied to everybody.
Dear Nurse Stevens, you're not in an experiment. You're marked for extinction, like everyone else who's taken a legitimate injection. It's not an experiment. Horrific. We've heard from Nurse Anne here, similar stories. We have Ryan Cole here with a short video. You want to play that next? Duck that
yeah,
one. We've got
yeah.
time.
Yep.
Okay, what's he going to tell us?
This is an interview he did. I believe this is with Dr. Mercola. So if you mm-hmm. want to hear the full interview, so I think it's about an hour and a half long. But he is highlighting this staggering increase in cancers we're now seeing.
Doctors all over the world are seeing strange things. Remember what Erica said first, and I believe first here. This is airborne cancer, and we've built from there. This is airborne AIDS. This is airborne prion disease of the brain. This is airborne disease number one through maybe 1,000. We don't know. This is shedding. You don't have to take the shot to suffer. And we have had people, I remember at least one case where someone was shed upon and died. This goes way back, but I remember that. I think you do too. All right. Here's Dr. Ryan Cole.
I've been traveling the country and the world quite a bit, trying to help in different legislatures, trying to get different legislation passed. I've been doing educational sessions with the Global COVID Summit around the world. And wherever I go now, I have doctors approach me and nurses as well, saying, look, what you're saying, we've been seeing. So I was having a conversation with a chair of a large oncology department in Tallahassee about a month and a change ago. And he said, I usually see an aggressive brain cancer in a young patient maybe every decade. After the boosters rolled out, he saw five astrocytomas, five aggressive brain cancers in 1 month. Then I'm in Jacksonville the next day having a conversation with a family doctor. He said, gosh, you know, it's strange. I usually see a kidney cancer in a young patient every decade or so. I've seen five in the last month. Then I was in the UK a couple of weeks ago. I had a doctor from Ireland who's been practicing family doc GP, been out in the country for 36 years. And he said, I have seen more cancer in my young patients ever since the shots rolled out in the booster than I have ever seen in my entire career. Same thing, a nurse that works emergency department in the UK. Not only the heart inflammation in young children, but cancers in young patients and aggressive leukemias. So everywhere I go, I have doctors confirming, observationally. You know, if it's here or there, then it's anecdotal.
Those anecdotal reports are 50 to 60 times, not two or three. That's 50 to 60x.
Correct. And that's when it all adds up to being observational medicine, like we've done for eons in medicine. You observe something works or you observe something's happening. Now you have a legitimate finding.
Okay, I hope that sinks in. Remember Dr. Russell Blaylock telling us we were going to see cancers that we didn't even have names for? Completely correct. I had an email today. I think I sent it to you, a little clip from it.
Yes, yep.
Right, I'm trying to get this gentleman on the program. I appreciate the listener who sent this in. I'm just going to read it, no names. My neighbor's wife, a very healthy woman of 59, she looks 48, had suddenly developed lung cancer. She did not drink alcohol, did not smoke. She is a strict Baptist and voted for Trump. So you get the shot, suddenly gets lung cancer. I spoke to her husband today, and that revealed that she has been triple vaxxed with the kill shot. He is an anti-vaxxer and begged her, this is his wife, he begged her not to get the shot. He also mentioned that in his little circle of friends, seven other people have developed soft tissue cancers recently. All have taken the kill shot.
Mm.
Pretty easy dots to connect. This is horrific. We are seeing over a year ago, we expected to see cancers running amok. Very quickly, Erica, how is it, we've discussed this off air, but how is it that people can feel good, not be symptomatic, and yet be critically ill?
Well, I think it's happening very subtly on a cellular level, little by little by little. And you just... Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, cardiovascular disease is asymptomatic until it's not, until you have some kind of event. Cancer, same thing. You don't notice...
If you have no immune system, if you have no immune system, what's there to promote and provoke a symptomatic response to something?
Well, that's it. That's a hallmark of cancer. But many people say that, I don't understand why I have cancer. I haven't been sick in decades. Well, that's part of the problem. I mean, the body, in response to infection, which, you know, we encounter pathogens all the time, it's normal to have a fever, to have aches and pains in response to the body trying to fight off something.
Something.
So these people that are walking around now that are triple vaxxed and they're not having symptoms even though they're infected with COVID, I mean, they won't have symptoms until that infection is really deeply seated. Right. And they can spread it asymptomatically.
I feel fine. Never felt better. I'm fine. A little tired, but I feel fine.
Yeah, or they have a little cough. A lot of these people have coughs. I've noticed that. And I don't know if that's fibrosis happening in the lungs from the amyloid clots. Fluid in the lungs, could be any number of things.
All right. Okay, we've given you a lot of information tonight again. We will continue to do so. There's much more. This is changing. It's accelerating as we expected it would, and we'll be here to help you understand as much as we can. Okay, thanks, partner. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Good night, everyone.
We'll be back tomorrow night. Take care, prepare, beware, and be safe. Do not hang around. If you're vaxxed, stay away from the unvaxxed. If you're vaxxed, you've got a lot to think about. The unvaxxed is the agenda.